This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, Kevin McCarthy, you know him well, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. What's up, Kevin?
It's time to get Rick.
What's up, buddy?
So it seems like the masses loved Joker 2. Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, that's about as true as a statement as Eric meeting me at 1 o'clock this Sunday for a movie and a tattoo date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good counter.
Eric, listen.
Yeah.
Eric, listen, I know there's not a lot going on in the NFL this weekend, so I thought maybe this would be a good time for us to get together. I mean, listen, I've been trying to hang out with you outside of work for so long, and you keep denying it. And I think
I'll meet you
Sunday
for lunch after a show in the middle of the week.
You guys could get matching Jaden tattoos.
I mean, I know you're doing a bit, but I'll meet you for lunch.
I'm not doing a bit at all. Are you? I'm sorry if I missed this. Are you going to the game, Eric?
No.
Curiosity.
No. But I'll be out of town. I'm out of town every weekend.
I can't believe that this is like one of the biggest games in local history. I can't believe you're not going to go. It's crazy to me.
It's week six. I've already had this argument with Valdez.
I know. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for all the years of hearing the Titanic music on the show and everything. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm pulling for you, brother. Always.
Thank you.
So, Kevin, did you want to talk about Joker 2 flopping?
Yeah, I mean, listen. I mean, you guys heard my review last week on your show. I'm not going to reiterate all that again. But I think the problem with Joker 2 is that in Hollywood, they sometimes, every time a movie makes a lot of money, you want to see a sequel to it. Like, there should not be a sequel to Barbie. They should not do a sequel to Barbie because it was amazing as a one-off film, and now they want to do all the other toy movies. But sometimes you have to realize that certain things hit at the right time and they do well. And Joker, the reason I compare Joker and Barbie is because Joker should have been a one-off film. It made $1 billion. It was R-rated. It was a huge success. The brilliance of the first Joker is that the nuance and ambiguity of the film, did he do it, did he not do it, was it all in his head, etc., that was what made the movie so interesting. And then they went and did a sequel that basically undid all of that, and it had 12 or so musical numbers that just felt strange because the numbers were supposed to be psychological breaks for the characters, but they ended up becoming kind of annoying for the audience in a way. And so the first one opened $96 million. This one did not open anywhere near that. And that just shows you that the audience were not interested in another sequel for that film, let alone a musical version of a sequel to that film.
And the original Batman at the movie theater, okay, which was Jack Nicholson as the Joker. There was, if I recall, there was like a almost like a dance video in the middle of it with the Joker, like a musical number type thing. Did these all have like almost like dance videos within the movie?
Yeah, I mean, well, no. I mean, the tone of Tim Burton's Batman and the Joker that Nicholson played was almost this over the top comical version of it. Obviously, and that juxtaposed really heavily to what Ledger brought to the role in The Dark Knight, which was a very dark and very a very heavy version of the character, and then this Joker equally is dark and heavy. And then they try, the musical numbers aren't funny in this movie. There's nothing funny about anything in Joker 2. It's a very depressing experience. But yeah, it's no, the any type of lighthearted dancing that you may be referring to or comical nature you would be referring to from the first Batman is not the tone here at all. It just didn't work.
Even more depressing than Joker 2 and talking about it for back-to-back weeks, Megaflopolis has made $10 million worldwide. Are people's heads rolling in the streets for green-lighting that?
Yeah, I mean, and that was also mostly, I think, if not all, self-funded by Francis Ford Coppola. And that's like a $125 million film.
That's a big L. He took a big fat L, Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah,
he could have just burned his money.
Well, so the interesting thing about that, we'll transition to this, is Terrifier 3, which opens this Friday, which opens today. Mm-hmm. This is a franchise. Listen, I know you guys might not know.
Hold
this
on,
franchise.
Wait a second. What is it called? Terrifier?
I've never heard of Terrifier 1 or 2.
That's a franchise?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and explain it because I think it's really cool.
I need some explanation.
Well, right now, Terrifier 3 is. So these are independent films that have become cult hits in the horror industry. So if you guys walk in the. If you've seen a character called Art the Clown, if you look him up on Google, you've probably seen images of him. If you ever walk into a Spirit Halloween, he's
JP
right there.
Facing, JP lives in Spirit Halloween, like from September 1 to November 1.
Hmm. Well, JP, you've probably seen this guy in Spirit Halloween then. He's like, it's Art the Clown is like a serial killer clown that's it's in this franchise. And basically the character's played by a guy named David Howard Thornton. And the first two films were made on micro budgets. So the second film cost $250,000 to make, and it made $15 million at the box office. And so think about what you just said, Cakes, about the Megalopolis. You know, that movie cost $125 million, and it's probably not even going to make 15 if it's lucky.
Man, that's
and so. Cool. Terrifier 2 cost $250,000 and made $15. So the crazy part about that is it's become such a cult classic. This new one coming out today, I think it costs about $1.5 million or $2 million. It's on track to make somewhere between $12 and $18 million this weekend. And so obviously you can see the growth happening there. This is purely independent cinema. These are very brutal films, but they are also done in a very over-the-top way as well. And I got to shout out Damien Leone, the filmmaker of this. I mean, this is one of those classic stories where a guy had an idea and ran with it, and it grabs an audience, and it's going to make millions and millions of dollars this weekend, and theoretically beat Joker 2 in its second weekend. And I think people need to understand a second weekend box office for a major film. I mean, Joker 2 reportedly cost somewhere near $200 million to make. And you're talking about a film that this weekend is going to take it down that only cost about $1.5 million or $2 million. And, you know, my opinion is that there's an inspiration that comes with what Terrifier has done for audiences. Listen, your audience listening to me right now, probably a lot of people might not even know what Terrifier is, and that's fine. But you're about to learn about it this weekend when you see all the news stories on Monday that it became number one and it beat Joker. It's going to be big. So I will tell you this. I love this film. I am a newfound fan of the Terrifier franchise. These are not films for everybody. The real sell in these movies is really kind of the kills. The way that the Art the Clown, like, it's kind of like, think about Michael Myers and Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees. You know, when you watch a Freddy Krueger movie, a Nightmare on Elm Street film, you're always curious how Freddy's going to do his kills. And Freddy's character always enjoys, in a sick way, how he does his kills. And I don't know if you guys remember, do you guys remember one of the best kills of all time? Nightmare on Elm Street 1, remember Johnny Depp in the bed? And he gets sucked into the bed and the blood shoots out. Do you guys remember that?
I do remember that. Eric Pickle does not remember that, but I do.
That's Johnny Depp. That's Johnny Depp. Yeah. That one of his first movies, Wes Craven. So, listen, this is not for everybody, but I do recommend it if you're a horror fan and if you just like independent cinema. I really love this film. I give it a 4 out of 5. I think it's really well done. Rotten Tomatoes, I think it's doing really well as well. And it's about to beat Joker this weekend. So
Terrifier 3, 4 out of 5. Now, I've seen trailers for this show that you want to talk about. Fill us in on disclaimer. The trailers look good. Looks like it has a very good cast.
Yeah, I'm interviewing Sacha Baron Cohen this morning. This is a series directed by a guy named Alfonso Cuarón, who did Gravity. He did Prisoner of Azkaban, the Harry Potter film. He's one of the best filmmakers working today. A movie called Roma was his last film he did. This is a 7-part series. The first 2 episodes dropped today. And Cate Blanchett is the lead star of it. And I'm trying to think of how to explain it without spoiling anything. But basically, a young boy goes on a trip and ends up dead. And that storyline of the parents dealing with the death of their son is connected to 2 other storylines in the series. And the question then becomes, what happened? Who's involved? And basically what happens is the father of the son who passed puts a book out that tries to claim that somebody who is well known in the world is somehow responsible for that death. And that becomes a whole cycle of revenge and interesting perspective. So
you watched the first 2 episodes?
I watched all 7.
Oh, you already watched all 7.
Because they sent me all 7, and I was like, I was hooked. I couldn't stop watching it.
Yeah.
Like, it is. And Billie Eilish's brother, Finneas O'Connell, who produces all of Billie Eilish's music, did the music for it. Sacha Baron Cohen, Cate Blanchett, Kevin Kline, who's absolutely incredible in the series. Look it up. The first 2 episodes drop today, and then it comes out week to week after that. Like,
is
old
it Apple
school.
TV Plus?
Apple TV Plus, yeah. Disclaimer. It is absolutely remarkable. You're going to get to the end of episode 2, and you're going to be like, why do I have to wait a week and then another week and another week to watch this? Like, it is, and I will tell you right now, it is worth watching all the way through episode 7. And episode 7 is going to blow your mind.
Very cool.
So that I think that drops in November. So
it's awesome.
Disclaimer, first 2 out today.
And I'm just going to throw it out there. I said last week, and I think Cakes and his wife watch it. My wife and I finished Nobody Wants This with mm-hmm. Kristen Bell. Mm. Really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed
really good.
It.
She actually doesn't want another season because of the way it ended.
Yeah.
She was like, this was perfect. It's 10 episodes. They're all about 20 minutes or 22 minutes. So it's a perfect, like, watch with your wife show.
It's a comedy.
They just announced season 2.
They did announce season two. See, it could go
well,
downhill.
It was such a hit. They were like, we have to do another
That's
season.
What I told my wife. She yeah. was like, she liked the kind of the happy ending mm-hmm. there at the end of the first season.
Everybody loves those.
Well, also, I mean, there's something to be said about a good 25-minute episode show.
Yes.
Like, I think that we're, you know, like this disclaimer show, their episodes are 45 minutes, and obviously that's kind of standard these days, or an hour, how long these episodes are. But with something like Nobody Wants This, like there's something, it's almost like eating an appetizer. Mm-hmm. and you go, oh yeah, I'll watch one. And
oh,
then you go,
loaded
oh, I can
skins,
watch another
Kevin.
One.
Loaded
I don't even
skins,
think they're
so
25
good.
Minutes. I really think they were 22 minutes. Like, they almost formatted it for regular TV, and you could yeah. crank out 3 in an hour. And they're all kind of like feel good episodes. Like, if you just want feel good TV, Nobody Wants This on Netflix. But you could disclaimer a. Did you give it actually a rating? You said absolutely remarkable.
I don't usually give ratings for TV shows. I mean, but right. like from what I watched, I would give it a 4.5 out of 5, maybe even a 5. I hadn't actually thought about a rating for it yet because I just watched all 7 back to back. But I highly, highly, highly recommend it. And it's directed by a guy who's done a lot of cinema. Gravity was obviously a huge success with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. So I highly recommend it. If you have a chance to watch at least one of the episodes, I think there's no question you're going to be hooked.
All right, Kevin. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, pal.
All right, guys. See you
later.
Thanks.
Coming up next, we hit the scans to get into Commanders Ravens on a Football Friday on The Fan.